The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Watch out, don't be fooled by just any messenger. Hey, there's a standard by which we determine things. We're going to look at that. Casey Pipes, author of the book After the Fall, The Remarkable Comeback of Richard Nixon, will be joining us live at the bottom of the hour, hopefully. And are we warriors or worriers?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Yeah. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. People wonder, why do you read the same thing? It helps me. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, let's give a shout out to our very first sponsor who's going to be joining us on Thursday, our good friend, John.
Big John
is the president and owner of the Blessed Roofing Company, 4.9 out of 5 in the Google reviews. Yelp 4-point stars. Hey, for a, I guess for a roofing company, that's fantastic. I've looked at some of the other comments. Yowza. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you want to work with somebody who's truthful and honest, does the best they can. You want to know if your house needs to, the roof on your house needs to be replaced or repaired. You need to find that out, but you can find out for free. Excellent price. Free. They just do a roof inspection, and then it goes from there. Perhaps it will be out of cost, out of pocket, zero. Perhaps it'll be something else. You got to have somebody look at it and tell you. And unless you've become a roof expert in the last 5 seconds, why don't you give John a call? TheBlessedRoofingCompany.com. That's their website, BlessedRoofingCompany.com. Or you can call them at 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED. They're working on my house, so the house we're in, so the one we're renting with the owner, everything going good. So I'm just letting you know what's going on. John will be in studio on Thursday, assuming all goes well there. So I'm doing a lot of those assuming all goes well kind of attitude of late. I think that's a little bit better. My wife is on her day off at home, and guess what? She's sick. I mean, do we have an awe button? Like a... okay, so while Wonder Julie is looking for an awe button, what a bummer on your day where you're supposed to kind of be able to relax and so on and so forth. That's the day. It's not that bad that you have to sit on the couch and not do anything, but then not to feel good while that goes on,
and
right?
And she won't have to make dinner.
Thanks for pointing that out. That was awesome of you.
I don't have an awe, so I'm trying to help her anyway.
That's a good help, though. I got to give you that one. Do you know what day it is? Today is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous day. There's two things today. I'm not going to say what the second one is. But do you know what the one of the national things is today?
I don't.
Okay. It's National Fresh Breath Day. How you doing? I didn't get in trouble. When I say in trouble, sometimes that word connotates a lot worse than that. But when I was pastoring in Flagstaff, I had mentioned to the greeters that perhaps it wouldn't be the worst idea, because I knew one greeter in particular, if they used mints. You'd have thought I'd have done something where I made a league, some kind of agreement with the Antichrist or something. People were very mad at me. I'm like, dude, somebody walks in, they come into church, the last thing they want is a blast of breath from an aardvark. Okay, so I mean, just don't get mad at me about it. It's like somebody's visiting, they're like, oh, can't wait to see what the rest of the service is like. Not the way. That's the way you want to really approach that. So don't get mad at me. That's just kind of how that goes. All right. Let's because we do have somebody who's going to be hopefully joining us, and we did get a confirmation she's going to be calling. So all is well for Casey Pipes. Only interview we've had to change, right? Is that the only one we've had to change? I think that we had to actually rearrange it.
Right. And there was a time change issue.
There was a time change issue.
That was our issue.
Okay. So it was a clock's fault.
We were all here, just not at the same time.
Okay. See? That's good. That's a good thing right there. Here's your question for the day. Let's see if you can answer this. Not a tough one, not a lot to it, but you do have to be able to answer it. And I'm going to give a follow-up maybe question or just a probe just to see. Don't get nervous. I promise I won't do anything to embarrass anybody on the radio unless you're anti-Christian. No, I won't do – I don't even do that to people who are atheists or agnostics. By the way, an atheist is somebody who does not believe there is a God. Okay, atheist, no God. An agnostic is – the word gnostic is knowledge. An agnostic is somebody who just doesn't know. So you know, somebody goes, well, I'm agnostic. That's not atheist. That's agnostic. They don't know. That's a no knowledge. Okay, so no knowledge or no God. That's the big difference there. Okay. All right, what two alphabet letters in the Greek does Jesus identify with? Ooh, little Greek discussion there. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. In light of all of the things that have been going on in the news, the horrible shootings that have taken place, and all of the things that have come behind that. Shootings are not a new thing in the United States, in case you're not aware of that. We've been having some form of mass shootings. Basically, I think it's 66, 67 was when it really started to kick into higher gear. And then what happens is inevitably the same thing that happens in the garden, and that is everybody's blaming everybody's blaming everybody's blaming everybody. I can make it really simple, and I'm just going to put the fault exactly where God would put the fault. The fault is on humanity for sinfulness. Because man rebelled in the garden, we are reaping what we have. We're reaping a decision that was made by our forefathers and mother. And that bottom line is that's what's going on. Okay? It's never a skin problem. It's a sin problem. It's not a culture. It's not a this. It's not a that. It's a sin problem. What is it? It's a sin problem. So I want to make sure that we understand that the messengers that are out there speaking, okay, they're like, there's like all these messengers. And you have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility, and you have a responsibility listening to me to make sure that those messengers are evaluated properly. The Bible says test all things. You might make a reference to Ronald Reagan saying test but verify, but I'm telling you, Scripture is very clear in Thessalonians about testing or proving all things. The word prove means test it, okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Quick note here, good to understand how the Lord operates with people. In the Old Testament, the Lord spoke in a multitude of ways and in a multitude of times. In other words, there wasn't this or just this or just this. I mean, the Lord spoke through a donkey. So, you know, everybody needs to calm down. In fact, he rebuked a prophet, albeit a false prophet. He rebuked a prophet through a donkey. So anytime somebody comes along and they tell me, I'm prophetic, I just think, well, you know, the Lord used a donkey to rebuke someone like you. Why I say that is because prophets typically don't need to announce themselves. Certainly apostles don't. So the bottom line in that kind of mindset is to understand that things should be coming through Jesus. Now, why I bring that up is to give us a standard by which we evaluate the messengers that are bringing messages to us. So my comment, my direct comment to this is watch out. Okay? When you have a messenger coming, if Jesus is not at the core of the message, you better be going ding, ding, ding in your brain. When you have people talking in the media, when you have people talking in politics, when you have people talking in the news, when you have people talking secular justice as though human righteousness can attain to the righteousness of God, never happens, never will happen, never can happen. The understanding also, humanisms and entertainment elements and all these other things, these are all these messages. And you've got to find the core. What's at the core of the message? What's really going on? When you have somebody who is on television who quotes scripture but doesn't live by scripture, guess what? That person is not about Jesus. I mean, that, you know, it doesn't take rocket science to sit there and go, I see, using scripture for your advantage. Kind of sounds like Satan trying to get one up on Jesus, which didn't work. My point is simple. You've got to see where the core of the message goes. If the core of the message goes to Jesus Christ, the redemptive plan, God's compassion demonstrated through the saving work of Jesus Christ, where he died on that cross, where he bore our sins, where he was buried in the ground, and 3 days later he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he's coming back. Now, I don't want to argue about how he's coming back, period. That is at the core the gospel. When they're giving a message and they're trying to lean towards human righteousness, they're lying to you. Do you understand that? Political correctness is man's attempt to establish his own righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. It's corrupt. And that's why it's confused. I don't know if you saw that Democratic Socialist meeting that they've been playing the clip on, where the guy goes, hey, can you guys not talk so much? And another guy gets up there and shouts from the crowd, hey, can you not use the word guys when we're talking about a crowd? Don't be gender inclusive. You know, that's really not nice. And it's like, these people are nuts. You can't even say, you guys, come on. They've lost it. Anyway, see what the core of the message is. If it's Jesus, okie dokie, pay attention. If it's not, yeah, you don't have to worry about it as much as you think. But most of the people you're seeing in the entertainment industry, their core message has nothing to do with God. Their message has to do with, you know, if it feels good, do it. Yeah, what do you tell somebody who commits mass murder and they think it feels good? Should they just do it? See how stupid that thinking is? Oh, incredible. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or a 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Do you think it's been, organizational leadership has been a good thing for church leaders?
I'll tell you what, it's a penetrating question. The answer is very simple. If used correctly to add value to people and serve others, it's a good thing. If used incorrectly, it's not a good thing. And, you know, when people talk about everything rises and falls on leadership, I teach them often that it rises, but it also falls. And nothing is better than for people to have a good leader, and nothing's worse than for people to have a bad leader. And to me, what makes servant leadership work is this. Most leaders put themselves first before their people. And so it is a me motivation as far as leading. What's in it for me? I travel internationally with my company, Equip, and in fact, I'll leave Sunday for Guatemala. In fact, I'll be meeting next week with the president and the cabinet of Guatemala. And when I'm with these leaders alone, David, alone, I mean, no handlers, no media, nothing, but just alone, the question I ask them, which is, I think, the true servant leadership question is, will the people be better off after you've served your term as a leader than they were before you got there?
Wow.
And I think that's, and when the answer is yes, you have been a good leader, it has been a good thing. Organizational leadership, good thing. When the answer is no, bad leader, bad thing.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh, that was terrible. Let's try that again. Hold on. Here in Texas. That's better. I've got to do it right, folks. I'm sorry. It's got to be done right. Let's see. Email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. I got a new video up there from an older show. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. Oh, no, I don't have a newer one up there. I have a newer one on YouTube. I don't know. The question that we have asked, and then we'll do our sponsorship with Jamie in just a second. The question we have asked is simply, what two alphabet letters in the Greek does Jesus identify with? That's the question. The phone number here, 972-445-0770. What two alphabet letters in the Greek does Jesus identify with? That's a good one. And then there's kind of a follow-up to that. This segment brought to you by our good friend Jamie. Jamie Blumenthal, Retirement Strategies and Solutions, 1-800-287-1667. He and his lovely wife, Nancy, own the website RetireTheRightWay.com. Plus, they have the book Retire the Right Way. Their whole motto, plan right, retire right, retire the right way. They're not trying to tell you, oh, we have all the answers and that nothing will ever happen and nothing will ever change in the universe and this is how it's going to be. That's not what they're doing. What they're trying to do is apply the principles they've learned and the wisdom that they've engaged with in helping 600 families, 600 people, make the best possible decisions to keep their money safe as they're going into retirement. What's great about Jamie is you can call him up and talk to him, and he will not charge you anything to talk to him. If you typically will talk to certain people getting maybe advice, legal advice, or whatever the case may be, you could be charged. In Jamie's case, President of Retirement Strategies and Solutions, no charge. Call and talk to him. 800. That's easy to remember. 287-1667. 800-287-1667. RetireTheRightWay.com. He'll be glad to talk to you, give you answers to some of your questions. Maybe he'll even get a chance to do a review with you, make sure that you're set, everything is good to go. And even if you're not sure, that's even more so when you want to talk to somebody like Jamie. All right, so we are going to do kind of a switcheroo. We got our guest coming on in about 10 minutes. Before we get to that point, I'm switching what I was going to tell. I'm going to teach the same thing. I'm just switching the timing. That's all I'm doing is switching the timing, not switching anything else. And I don't know why I'm doing this, so maybe there's somebody out there that this is for. Hopefully that, or, you know, I just lost another brain cell. It trickled down my ear, and it's just not much I can do about it, and you have to put up with it. This comes out of 1 Thessalonians 2:17 and 18. Says this, but brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. We wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. All right. This is a church at Thessalonica where Paul is addressing them, and this church had a great fondness. Paul had a very large emotional connection to this church. All you got to do is read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. More so in these two letters than any other letter do you see Paul expressing affection and care. He really, I mean, there's just something about it, and that happens often. There are people that you engage with. There are ministries you engage with, and something just pulls you or draws you, and for some reason or whatever, you're just more closely attached. And in that case, that was what was going on. Paul was like, man, I really wanted to see you guys. I really just am blessed when I get to you. In fact, he said, if you're doing okay, I'm doing okay. Paul was so committed to the church of Thessalonica, he told him, he said, when you guys are doing good, I'm doing good. I mean, I want you guys to be doing great. Because what Paul had not just poured into them, but them sharing in the gospel, being a part of one another, being connected to one another. But he says something that's interesting that doesn't get a lot of play because it seems extremely negative. And I understand it seems negative, so I'm not telling you it doesn't have that element. But you have to deal with Scripture. You can't look at Scripture and go, well, I don't know, I'm just going to ignore it. He talks about wanting to come to them, and then he wanted to do it, and he tries again and again, but Satan stopped them. Now, I had a very powerful, experience. I use the word experience. Feelings might be involved with somebody who was way up in the church world. Let's just put it that way. And I didn't even know I was sitting by the person. It was I was in a booth, and I was kind of talking to the Lord. And then there was this people behind me, and they were talking, and they mentioned a couple of people that I did know. And so I just leaned my head over and said, oh, excuse me, do you know so-and-so, so-and-so? And then the person introduced himself, and it was the person I was thinking. I was like, wow, you know, like he was connected to all these people. Anyway, so he just said, how you doing, son? How you doing? And I'm like, you know, I'm struggling. And I shared some of my struggles. I'm trying to, you know, I said, this happened. I really didn't like this. And you know what he said to me? It was the weirdest thing. And it caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting it. He said, you know, he said, there's no question that God wins the war, but there are a couple of battles now and then that the enemy seems to win. Boy, that really caught me off guard. I thought, there are? No, nothing happens without God's permission. So we're not talking about something sneaking by God or something out of his sovereignty. But the idea that every once in a while, there are times where Satan kind of, you know, gets a zinger in there. I mean, I put the armor on, but I'm going to guess as many darts have gone my direction, perhaps somewhere between, you know, the shield and the breastplate and the helmet. You know, maybe he's nicked my neck a few times. And sometimes Satan gets involved and creates problems. I mean, he's a very real enemy. And what bothers me for Christians is, you know, when I'll ask them, I say, well, have you had any spiritual warfare? Have anything go on? They're like, spiritual warfare? Well, I never have any encounters like that. I never have any spiritual warfare. That's a problem. You should have some spiritual warfare. Otherwise, you're doing no damage to the kingdom of darkness. I mean, he doesn't even care about you. And by that, I don't mean there's a demon behind every rock. What I'm saying is you can't go through your entire Christian life, not nobody does, and has no conflict, spiritual conflict. That doesn't happen. I mean, how many times Jesus had his encounter in the beginning, but the enemy kept after him. It was part of the enemy's plan to try and get rid of him. I mean, it was man's plan, but it was from the heart of Satan. I mean, keep in mind, murder is from the heart of Satan. And if you think about it, It's like, yeah, we got a lot of warfare going on. And, like, we have a incredible country. Just a fantastic country. But we have some things within the country that are like, yeah, that's not good. Yeah, that's not good. I mean, you could say a lot of things. We're still sacrificing babies in the womb by the millions. That's not good. That doesn't take away that we have an awesome, absolutely incredible country. But we have some things in the country that got to change. Period. And sometimes the enemy gets in there and sneaks in a few things and pulls off a few things that maybe either we're not looking for, we're not prepared for, and it hurts. And I think this is an example of that. I don't think it's the end of anything. I think the enemy won restricting Paul. Whatever reason God allowed it, I'm going to go with, you know, God's wisdom always prevails. It's always correct. But Satan was able to stop Paul, and Paul just said, hey, Satan, you know, Satan stopped us in this. And people say, well, he's just affixing blame to failure there. He doesn't do that. He'll own his own failure. Paul does that. He fixes this blame straight on the enemy. You know what? Sometimes the enemy does it. And you and I need to be aware of that. It's tough to hear, but it's the reality of it. Now, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No question. And through the Lord, you overcome. No question. Okay, there's no questioning there. But the Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Some people don't do a lot of submitting to God. So when they go to resist, there's not a lot there inside the person to resist. Because they're not submitting to God. Creates a problem, if you catch my drift. We need to be submitted to God. And we need to resist the enemy. And then the enemy will take off. Great. Flee. Whatever. However we're going to go down that road. My point is simply that you have to be surrendered to God and to keep from giving in to the enemy. And let me tell you, the only reason you have to resist the enemy is because he's coming at you. Think about that word resist. The word resist means to keep from giving in. In order for you to keep from giving in to Satan, he's got to be coming at you for that to take place. It's just logic. You can't escape logic. It's like, okay, got it. So my point is, sometimes the enemy wins it. And if he wins one, you don't sit there and cower in the corner. You call upon the name of the Most High God, and you get ready for the next battle. Right? The war is done. You got to do the mop-up. You got to do the cleanup fights. Get her done. Okay? All right. We're breaking. Break now? Sure. Yeah, why not? All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break. Hopefully, we'll have an interview when we get back. Don't go anywhere. Most of my life, it feels like
I've been running. Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car.
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh, it's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly. He's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED. Because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name. The Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right. Let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs, whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections. I'll call John at 469-BLESSED or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered because reliability starts at the top.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failed.
failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place. Solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where if an interview can get lost, it just did. I don't know what happened. We're still waiting for the phone call to come in, so we're just going to wait on it and go forward. That's how we do things around here. That's why I like live radio, though. You never know. I mean, it's just you don't know. That's the exciting part about it. Yeah, I like that. I know that's kind of strange. It's kind of like, watching live sports, you know, something like that. Anyhow, if you want to email the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com, Facebook David Spoon Media, YouTube David Spoon Media. Like I said, there's a new video up on the YouTube one. If you don't like that kind of stuff, that's okay. And then there's kind of an encouraging video on davidspoonmedia.com at the top of the page. That's number one. Number two, we've had a trivia question. I needed to get answered because I have a need for the answer. What two alphabet letters in the Greek does Jesus identify with? This is found in the book of Revelation. See if you can think that through, but don't Google it, please. 972-445-0770. This segment brought to you by Pamela.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's...
Pinocchio, no. All right, so I'm trying to find out from John. I think that Pamela will be coming with John for the interview on Thursday. Just trying to get that confirmed. Bottom line, any real estate questions, anything you got going on, you're thinking, I just don't know about this. I don't know what's the trend in the market. Is it a better time to sell? Is it a better time to buy? Is it a better time to invest, to not invest? That's the kind of questions you want to talk to Pamela about. Get in touch with her, theblessedrealtycompany.com. That's the website. That's the company she has, theblessedrealtycompany.com. We have a link on our website, David Spoon Media, that says our sponsors. I can't remember if it says our loving sponsors, our caring sponsors, our fantastic sponsors. It says something like that. It's like sponsors, sponsors, sponsors. Get in touch with her, 817-505-5541, 817-505-5541, theblessedrealtycompany.com.
Casey Pipes on line one.
All right. So now we have Casey Pipes, and then somebody else is probably calling in on the trivia. Okay. Let me get Casey because I want to talk to him, and then we'll have the trivia person call back in a little bit. Let's see. Casey, are you there with us?
I am here.
All right. Awesome. I'm very glad that you're here. I wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to get people to hear about your book and to hear what's taking place. First and foremost, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it very much.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my privilege. Okay, so you've written a book, and I want people to know the book is called After the Fall, The Remarkable Comeback of Richard Nixon. And so I want people to have contact points for this. Those contact points, they can get this on Amazon. Is that correct?
They can, or their local Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold.
Anywhere books are sold, you can pick this book up. So I've got like a series of questions for you, but I have to give you the floor first, because sometimes they give you the little piece of paper and says, ask these kind of questions, and some of those questions are decent, and some are really not as decent, so that's why I got to personalize some of it. I do want to know, though, what kind of moved you? What made you think, I'm going to investigate Richard Nixon, I'm going to investigate his life, what happened at the fall, what happened after the fall? What moved you to do that?
Well, the post-presidency is the last untold story in the history of Richard Nixon. We've had volumes and volumes written about his presidency, about Watergate, about his rise to power. There's been almost nothing written about the 20 years following Watergate. And there's a reason for that. The post-presidential papers, where he's writing memos and documents and trying to influence events, these are not a part of the presidential record, so they're not open to research by historians. The family controls them, and I was able to approach the family about 10 years ago and secure permission to use these documents. So in many cases, the material that I was working from was material that had never been seen before. So this is the last great untold Nixon story. And what I found is during this last 20 years of his life, he was even more active and more successful than we've ever realized before. He writes 9 bestsellers on foreign policy. He becomes an advisor and counselor to 3 presidents, including a Democrat, Bill Clinton. And he's helping to shape policy, particularly foreign policy, from his exile. It's just remarkable when you consider where he was in August of 1974, that he was able to achieve the status of an elder, almost a beloved elder statesman, by April of 1994 when he dies. And that's the story that's in After the Fall.
Yeah, what's cool about that is people don't realize the redemptive element that's involved, how he had, like you're talking about, the comeback. And a great biblical connective element there is John Mark going with Barnabas, going with Paul, and then he kind of falling out because he didn't want to keep doing it, and Paul was really mad at him, and you know, boo-hoo, and they got mad at each other. But several years later, it was Mark who wrote the gospel, so it was like, it was pretty big comeback if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna look at kind of a disaster kind of element, and then redemption and remarkable comebacks is a fantastic story and thread throughout Scripture. So in my mind, you're writing this. You have access to information nobody's had that you're going to be able to present, that you've presented in the book for the first time for people to really get it. What made you think I'm going to contact them? What made you think I'm going to go this route? Was it getting that access, or did something kind of stick in your craw and you think, I gotta find out what happened?
Well, I'm always interested in the road less traveled in history. I did about 10 years ago, I did a biography of Eisenhower that focused on his relationship with the civil rights movement and chronicled his role in the Little Rock Central crisis, which was one of the defining moments of the civil rights movement. And no one had ever told the story from Eisenhower's perspective. He was always considered to have been, sort of asleep at the wheel and just kind of sleepwalk through history. Actually, he was very involved in making sure that the desegregation of Central High School went forward. And that story had never been told. So I told that story 10 years ago. And then with this, the post-presidency, I just became fascinated because I wanted to know what happens when the greatest American political tragedy in history occurs and a guy who's lived his whole life wanting to become president loses the power of the presidency. What happens next? And I just was fascinated. And of course, as I got into the research, I found out it was even more fascinating than I thought. I mean, he's not just enduring and surviving. In many ways, he's prevailing, and he's becoming the preeminent authority on the Cold War at the time that Ronald Reagan is meeting with Mikhail Gorbachev, and Nixon is giving him advice and counsel all the way through the summits, all the way up to the signing of the INF Treaty. just remarkable how influential he was during these later years.
Yeah, it's excellent insight on your part. That's really, really, I mean, that's really good to be able to put that together. I think one of the things that I wonder, because I was alive at that time, I'm a little older than most people think. I won't say how old I am, but, you know, in my mind, as we've gone through the last 4 or 5 years, last 3 years, you know, there's a lot of references to, well, this is as bad as Watergate, this is as bad as Watergate. Watergate was a very, very big deal, sometimes I wonder if they diminish how impacting it was. I mean, this is the president of the United States by just throwing it around as like a term or like a reference. Do you think the little bit of diminishing of the magnitude? Because I remember the night that he gave his speech. I mean, my parents were like devastated. It was a big deal.
It was. I mean, I don't think there's anything that really compares to it. In fact, in the book, I talk about when Nixon is writing his memoirs, and he has a series of researchers that are helping him on the book, and one of them is Diane Sawyer, who, of course, later goes on to become a broadcaster on ABC News. She researches the Watergate chapter for him, and when she brings in the material to him to show it to him, he reads it, and then he says to her, you know, this is the first time I've ever understood everything that happened. I mean, it was so vast, and it was so complicated, and there were so many moving parts that even somebody like him, who, you know, ends up paying the ultimate price for it, didn't even understand everything that was going on. He knew that some of the people below him had done some things to, you know, try to help him, and he wanted to try to cover for them, which, of course, was a fatal mistake. But he didn't understand all the moving parts to it, and it was that big and it was that complicated. So just fascinating, these little moments in time, these little stories that show up in this book, where you realize how devastating this crisis was and this scandal was and the toll that it took on him.
What caught you off guard as you did your research? What that's their question, most surprising story. What did you go through and went, wow, just didn't see that?
I think the Reagan section. There's several chapters in the book detailing his relationship with Reagan as president. They obviously had a friendship prior to Reagan's election in 1980, but it was a complicated one. That begins to change with the 1980 election. Nixon senses this is a unique moment in time and that Reagan is a unique leader in time and that some big things can happen with the Cold War. I'll give you just two examples. One is he wants to take advantage of Reagan's communication ability, and he sends a letter to Mike Deaver, Reagan's communications guru, encouraging the creation of what he suggests is a Sunday radio address. Of course, Deaver tweaks the idea and makes it the Saturday morning radio address. We think of Reagan as having started it. It was Nixon's idea, and we've never known that before. The other one that was really surprising was how involved he was with the negotiations with Gorbachev. When Reagan is pushing for the Strategic Defense Initiative, trying to create a defensive shield in the sky, Gorbachev becomes so upset about it that he threatens to pull out of the negotiations. Nixon helps Reagan square the circle by recommending to him, why don't you publicly offer to share the technology? It's a defensive system. There's no reason we can't share it with them. They can have their own. And this will sort of box him in and force him to come back to the table. It's exactly what Reagan does. It's exactly what happens. And they end up signing the 1987 INF Treaty. Just remarkable.
Wow.
The extent to which he was involved, and we've never known it before.
Yeah, that is very, very remarkable. That is a fascinating element. I never even heard that. I mean, that is just amazing. All right, let me ask you a couple of questions that are kind of
sure.
Current day. You got Trump and Nixon, you know, and that's one of the things they put in here is they're compared in the media, which I don't even get. So what is your take on any of that? I mean, is that Trump and Nixon are the same? I mean, I guess I missed that.
I think there are some similarities, but they're not the ones that are being made in the media. The similarity, ironically, is on policy and specifically on foreign policy. Nixon was a proponent of realism in foreign policy. This is the idea that American foreign policy should be based only on protecting American national interests, not human rights, not building democracies, not any of that. Those are nice causes, but they're secondary causes. We have to protect American interest abroad, number one. Trump, in many ways, is a throwback to this. We've had a series of idealistic presidents prior to Trump. We had Barack Obama waxing poetic about the Arab Spring. We had George W. Bush literally trying to build a democracy in Iraq. these are classic idealistic approaches to foreign policy that Nixon would have found very strange. With Trump, you see him just a couple of weeks ago in the Oval Office being asked about Afghanistan policy, and he says, you know, we can't be the policemen of the world. We can't build schools for everybody. We can't build democracies for everybody. These are shades of Nixon. These are shades of realism. And so I do think on foreign policy, Trump is a lot clumsier than Nixon and not as coherent and thoughtful as Nixon. But I think his instincts are to protect American national interests first, and that's, as I say, a throwback to Richard Nixon.
Right. Good. That's a good analysis right there. I like that. All right. So, first of all, we want people to recognize you can get this book at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it anywhere where books are sold. But I want to give Casey the shot. This is your kind of like that one-minute wrap-up. I'm trying to let you know, or I want you to let the audience know, they're going to get this book. They're going to read it. What are you hoping they take away from it?
Well, I think the main thing is we'll always debate whether or not he was a great president. This book makes clear there's really no debate he was a great ex-president. In the 20 years following Watergate, he really establishes a template that all former presidents follow. When he became an ex-president, there were no ex-presidents alive, and the ones he had known had all just sort of gone into retirement. He didn't have that choice. He had to make money, and he had to sort of climb his way out of this abyss, and he does it by working and by giving speeches and by appearing in the media and writing books and influencing policy. This is what our former presidents do today. I don't know that any of them will do it as well as he did it, but he really established the model that all ex-presidents follow today, and it's remarkable he did it in the aftermath of Watergate. Just a remarkable comeback, and that's the story in After the Fall.
Excellent job. All right, Casey Pipes. Ladies and gentlemen, After the Fall, the remarkable comeback of Richard Nixon. We just had the privilege of having Casey Pipes kind of share some of the questions I asked. But the book is going to cover a lot more than the questions I can ask. And I encourage you to go to Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, pick up the book. Casey, thank you for getting through the stuff. And thank you for getting on our show. And we appreciate it and hope nothing but fantastic success for you the entire time.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right. You take care. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, then we'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
Attention, real estate people of Earth. You have an out-of-this-world opportunity to talk with a real estate professional who can give you insight and advice on real estate strategies. The real estate market is changing, and to miss this opportunity is to leave income and equity on the table. Don't do that. Don't miss out on the latest real estate run. Don't miss it again. Contact Pamela Melchiono. That's Pamela Melchiono. Go to theblessedrealtycompany.com, fill out the form, and schedule a free consultation with Pamela. Not only will you be glad you did, but you'll be sad if you don't. Real estate opportunities don't exist forever. Take advantage while you have the chance. Take advantage while you still can. Contact Pamela. Her service and spirit are excellent. Your results will be excellent. You will say, excellent. Call Pamela at 817-505-5541. That's 817-505-5541. Or go to our website and schedule a meeting, theblessedrealtycompany.com. You'll be glad you did. You'll be sad if you don't. That is all.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
Snap, crackle, pop. That's not just an old cereal reference. That's the sound our bodies make when they're out of whack. Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, owner of the Specific Chiropractic Center in Richardson, is here to help. If you're experiencing pain from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, it's time for a checkup, a chiropractic checkup. Reach out to Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, for an evaluation. Less pain is a good thing. Are you suffering from a chronic condition that's not improving? You can call him at 972-454-9362. That's 972-454-9362. Or go directly to his website and schedule an appointment, drbrandonbrown.com. That's drbrandonbrown.com. If you tell him that you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, you might even get a lollipop. It feels good to feel good. Connect with the chiropractic doctor extraordinaire, Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown. Go to drbrandonbrown.com. Get hope, get well, live well, get to feeling groovy again.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We've had somebody on hold longer than we've had somebody on hold since we've started the show. We got to see who is the determined one to stay on hold. We find that to be wonderful, wanting to answer the trivia question. Who are we talking to?
Well, I'm Miss Freeman, okay. And okay. I want to guess this one.
Okay. Oh, I love that you're doing that. Now, you want to guess it because you think you know it. You're not positive, but you kind of feel pretty good about it, right?
I'm feeling good.
Okay. All right. Here we go. So we're going to walk it through. What two alphabet letters in the Greek does Jesus identify with?
Is it Alpha, Omega, or
A? That is correct. You are right. See what a great job that is. Now, here's the thing. Now, let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask you a follow-up question. It's not to put you on the spot or anything like that, so don't worry about it. All right, Alpha and Omega. So the Alpha and the Omega is our – what's the equivalent of that Alpha and Omega for us in our alphabet? Do you know?
Wouldn't it just be A and O?
Well, it'd be actually – you would be correct.
But, the beginning and the end.
Right, and so we would almost say it's like the A to Z kind of like thing because it's like, oh, yeah, it's like everything that there is, Alpha to Omega or A to Z, everything,
yes.
All that there is. And that's because for us, Jesus is everything from the beginning to the end, the A to the Z.
Yes. And we can say all in all.
That's right. All in. That's right. You know, I have just got to say, I am just totally, thoroughly impressed at your tenacity to call in and to hang on the phone. Did you just feel, nope, I'm answering this. This is mine. I got it.
Well, I just a few weeks ago got an associate's in biblical theology. So I stay in the Word.
That's the way to do it right there. So you are just
so
like,
I don't have
nope.
to Google it or anything. If I know it, you know, if I got it, I got it. If I didn't, I'll go back later.
That's right. That's the way to do it. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Just research it and study it. Study to show thyself approved unto the Lord. That's it.
Yes.
Excellent
yes.
job. I just want to thank you for being a part of the show and doing that.
Yes, thank you. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. What a blessing. I love it. I love stuff like that. All right, I do need to finish up, so I'm going to finish up. We're not going to do our read or anything, so I just got 3 minutes. So I want to finish this question real quickly. John 11, 38 through 39, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. That's what she said. In other words, he'd been dead, so you're thinking, well, why did he, Jesus, wait? Actually, in the rabbinical tradition, after 3 days, a person's body, there was no real chance of a resurrection, was the thought process, just so you can know what's going on. Jesus, it was more days than that, just to make Lazarus good and dead. It was a nice way to put it. But anyway, here's what Martha's going. It's going to stink, dude. Don't do it. And you know what? I will say this because I have been in that presence before. It is a bad odor. If you've never experienced that odor, it's not like mildew, folks. It's a lot worse. It's a bad odor, okay? A lot of props to those people that deal in that realm. But that's what she was worried. You got to take away the stone. It's going to smell bad. So it's a very simple question I'm asking you. Are you a warrior? I don't care what the smell is. Pull back the stone. Let's see the miracles. Or are you a worrier? This is going to stink. I don't care about the miracles. This is going to stink. I don't like this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village to a woman named Martha who opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came and asked him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." If you're a worrier, you're fussing about, and you can't get any peace, can't get any rest in your mind. If you're a warrior, you have an ability to sit there at the feet of Jesus and go, "This is all I need right here. Here's my encouragement. Be a warrior, not a worrier." Okay? Okay. All right, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.